I mentioned earlier that the second report, interim report from the social media inquiry has been tabled, and the chair of that joint select committee is in fact my local federal member, the Labor's member for Newcastle, Sharon Clayton, who is on the line. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning, Richard.
Well, the hot topic, Lydia Thorpe, you were there yesterday. And look, I keep getting, I'll drop this on you because it's certainly the hot topic this morning. You know, people suggesting she should be expelled from Parliament. And I said, I don't know whether that's possible. And then I had a listener, Dennis, sent me in the story about the former ALP member for Kalgoorlie, Hugh Mann, who back in 1920 was expelled from Parliament for seditious and disloyal utterance. And that was about when the Irish War was on. He was a big Sinn Féin supporter. And I think it was Billy Hughes was the Prime Minister then, and he was expelled from Parliament. Look, what's your attitude to the ongoing rants from Lydia Thorpe?
Well, the Senate certainly has different rules to the House of Representatives. I know that much. And I was very aware of the fact that a lot of senators in the room yesterday were very distressed by her outburst and regarded it as disrespectful. We certainly have rules in Parliament that say you cannot be disrespectful of the sovereign. And really, as much as it remains an ongoing issue for many First Nations people and indeed others, the fact is that King Charles III is the sovereign head of Australia, and there is an element of that is embedded into our democratic system. And he visited the Parliament yesterday, and the Parliament gathered along with, you know, most of the organisations he's patron of to really hear what he had to say. He made a very moving speech. There was a very genuine understanding of the role, the very unique place of First Nations peoples in Australia. He's not conscious of this by any means, and I think most of his agenda today is revolving around, lots of public appearances, but also some very specific appearances with meeting with First Nations people in Sydney. And so I think it's a great opportunity to have genuine discussion and dialogue. I'm not sure that screaming and shouting really meets that measure. It's a bit of a pity Senator Thorpe didn't take that opportunity to have a conversation, pass him a letter, whatever other options she could have taken. But, you know, that's her choice, and that will be a matter for the Senate to deal with.
Do you think that the State Premier should have been there yesterday, Sharon?
All the State governors were there, as they really should be. They are the representative of the sovereign in those particular states. I can assure you it was a very, very full, great hall, with or without them. And it was, the King felt very warmly welcomed and received.
14 past seven, my guest Sharon Clayton, who's the Federal Labor Member for Newcastle, also Deputy Speaker of the House of Representatives. And the reason, well, one of the reasons for talking to Sharon this morning is Sharon is the Chair of the Joint Select Committee on Social Media and Australian Society. They tabled their second interim report yesterday. One of the things you were looking into was the decision of Meta to abandon deals under this news media bargaining code. And I remember reading about this, and the funds from Meta, and I believe, I don't know the exact figure, is it $40, $60 million? Do you know the exact figure?
Yeah, well, we got evidence where there's variation, so a bit tricky to tell the exact figure, but it's a lot of money, and it has been distributed to, you know, a number. I mean, one of the issues for us was a lack of transparency around some of those financial arrangements. So it's a bit hard to really give you a final figure.
Okay.
Sorry, Richard.
No, but look, as I understand it, that money has basically been distributed amongst particularly regional news outlets. And we have seen, certainly in recent times, a number of regional newspapers disappearing. Will that be hastened by the fact that Meta are now not going to contribute?
Well, it's a real issue of concern, and I think although there was also some criticism of the news media bargaining code for not really reaching to some of those smaller independent news providers. And so it's been a very difficult struggle for those people in particular. On a separate issue, the government has today also announced a special news media relief fund. This is not to do with my reporting, but it is part of there's a $15 million package specifically targeted at those smaller regional independent sort of news publishers who we know are under immense pressure at this point in time. And we are really worried about trying to maintain the diversity of media in Australia now. So, you know, it's a problem in many parts of the country, but this fund is specifically aimed at dealing with those people in the small regional areas that don't have other options, really, for good local.
Yeah, I mean, in your opinion, is it essential that things like small regional newspapers remain and that there's a voice for local journalists and people to write to, you know, things like letters to the editor, etc., that we, you know, it's essential we keep these smaller publications?
It's critical. I mean, the role of Australian journalism and news and public interest media in particular in countering some of the mis and disinformation that is circulated widely on digital platforms is absolutely critical. People need to have a trusted source of information. And, you know, journalists have been skilled at making sure that they produce verified information. They play a really critical role in our democracy and also providing, as I said, a source of a trusted source of information for the Australian people. And that is just a really huge concern for, you know, for people like me and others who care about the state of democracy, about the involvement of, you know, public participation in those processes. And so the collapse of the shrinking of media diversity in Australia is really problematic, and that any collapse that we would see in regional areas in particular for our local news is, you know, can have really diabolical consequences.
Yes.
So it's a serious business.
Yeah, well, and look at it's your local daily too, the Newcastle Herald. There aren't too many journos left there, unfortunately, but there's a story in today's edition, Australian attempting to access pornographic websites and certain online games will be subject to age tests under online safety proposals that could come into effect in 2025, this draft online safety code. But, I mean, it's a hot topic now, trying to restrict younger Australians, and the age hasn't been determined, whether it's 14, 15, 16, restricting their access to having social media accounts. Given that, it, as far as I know, it hasn't happened anywhere else in the world, this age verification seems to be a sticking point. Do you think that it's actually going to be possible to restrict young Australians having access to social media accounts?
I absolutely know the determination of the Albanese government to introduce legislation this year, so it will be in the next month or so, that will establish a minimum age for accessing social media. You're right to note some of the evidence we are taking in the next part of our committee report goes to this issue about age verification. I've taken evidence from a lot of parents, mental health experts, you know, young people themselves around the impacts of social media. I mean, there's been some particularly distressing and harrowing stories of the really brutal impacts that social media has had for some young people, resulting in, you know, tragic loss of life for some. And so we're working really, I know from the government's perspective, working very collaboratively with the states and territories to try and get this right about the minimum age for accessing social media, as long as, and in addition to the evidence we're taking. There's an age assurance trial underway because you're right, Richard, it's a really difficult area for governments all across the world. This is a global problem, actually. Digital media platforms are evolving, you know, every minute of the day. and governments are having to keep up with that. So there is an age assurance trial that the government is conducting that will form part of the thinking around how we implement age assurance. And we've got a world-leading e-safety regulator who's also working across a number of fronts to support a safer online environment for Australian children. That's, you know, I mean, it's not a safe environment for a whole range of people right now, but we're especially worried about the impact for children.
My guest, Sharon Claydon, who's my local member, the Federal Labor member for Newcastle, Deputy Speaker of the House of Representatives, and also the Chair of this Joint Select Committee on Social Media and Australian Society. Their second interim report has been tabled. Look, obviously, with King Charles III and Queen Camilla in Australia, they will be at the Opera House. It'll be an opportunity for anybody who's there to actually get up close and personal to the King and Queen. Anthony Albanese, our Prime Minister, said that maybe looking into another referendum on the Republic if re-elected might be an issue in your government's second term if re-elected. Is there, do you think, within the Parliament much appetite for a discussion on Australia becoming a Republic?
Look, it's not been a huge point of discussion, but I think, you know, the Labor Party has long said that we are committed to a referendum, but we held a referendum on another issue last year, so we've certainly conducted the number of referendums that we committed to at that point. But the Republic is an ongoing conversation amongst the 25 million people that make up the Australian democracy now. I don't think that there is a real appetite, quite frankly, right now. I spent a lot of time talking to people about the King's visit over last weekend. They were very respectful of him, but didn't see it as a really significant part of their life. People often don't understand what constitutional monarchy really is. It doesn't play a big role in their lives, and that's really puts it down to us doing a better job about civics education in this nation. I find a lot of people struggle to understand, you know, all the different levels of government and how our constitution works. And that's, you know, no shame on anybody in the public. It's just we don't do a very good job in our school systems. It's a matter I've talked to the Speaker about on many occasions. He's very dedicated to visiting schools and trying to change that up. And I'm going to give him my full support in that.
Appreciate your time this morning. Thank you very much for the chat and have a great day, Sharon.
You too, and morning to all your listeners too. Thank you, Richard. Bye now.
My pleasure. Have a good day. Sharon Claydon, Federal Labor Member for Newcastle, is the Assistant Speaker in the House of Reps, and as I said, just Chair on that committee. It's interesting, the old, you know, age verification.